Hello, this is Matthew Bronson, and this is Conversations with Matthew Bronson here on KUPR 99.9 FM in Placitas, New Mexico. And this morning we're having a conversation with Dorothy Hu. You have been in the area for a long time. You're a retired teacher, and you are now very involved with Project Linus, which, if we don't cover everything today, people can find out more about at projectlinus.org. And then we're also going to talk about Project Linus and its involvement with the Placitas Community Center. It also is kind of a call out to this particular chapter needs some more involvement. So, welcome, Dorothy.
Hello.
See, that was easy. where did you teach?
I taught at APS at Taft Middle School for, I don't know how many years, 19 years.
Jeez.
Then I retired.
Right.
And now I'm not retired because I'm doing Project Linus. Being the coordinator for Centerville County chapter is a lot of work.
I can only imagine. But, I mean, you've run into a lot of people in similar situations where they retire and then all of a sudden they all say, I don't know when I had time to go to work because you get so involved with all these other projects.
Right. But see, right now I took on four counties north of Centerville County. Rio Riba County, San Miguel County, Santa Fe County, and Los Alamos County. We deliver blankets to some of the agencies up there, and we go up to these counties and we pick up blankets, not only in Centerville County.
Well, that's a great place to start. Blankets, Project Linus. What? Why blankets? When did it start? Where did the blankets come from? All these things everybody wants to know.
Well, the blankets are all made by either seniors or younger people throughout the counties, and they bring it into a drop-off site.
Right.
The blankets, we provide blankets for children, preemies all the way up to the age of 18. And so we try to provide these blankets to all the agencies that we have so that they have to give out. Some of these, we give blankets to homeless children, children in crisis, loss of a parent, of both parents. We have critical illness in children. There's an agency that had four children that had brain tumors, and this we give blankets to them and their siblings. See, we try to provide everything to make it comfortable for children that are in need or in crisis.
Which seems like an incredibly good thing to do. Was there a brainchild? Obviously somebody started it. So what's the history of Project Linus?
Project Linus actually started in Colorado with a lady, I forgot what her name is, and she used to make the blankets, take it to the hospital. Then there are two ladies that took over, decided to take over the blankets and named it Project Linus because Linus is the character in the Peanuts comic strip.
Always dragging a blanket around.
Right. And so that's how it got started. It started, I think, in 1995 or something like that.
Okay. So it's
been
relatively
around.
New.
But it's new. But
it's been around long enough to make a big impact.
Right. And there's about 300 chapters across the country with Project Linus that do Project Linus. And we... whenever there's a need in another state, we try to provide them. We all come together to help.
Do you, I don't mean to catch you off guard, but do you have any statistics, like how many blankets are made nationally a year? You
just have a national? It's over a million in national. Yeah, across the country. Here in Sanibel County and the four counties, we have delivered since 2010, 5,302 blankets that were distributed throughout these four counties. Five counties.
Wow, that's a lot of blankets. Any idea how many people are involved in the production of that?
No, we usually, I usually have about 40 plus people making blankets and donating. And then...
All women?
No, we have Good. Some men that do it.
You go, boy.
We do. We're trying to recruit everybody to come in. Placitas used to have one man that used to come, so we lost him. But we're trying to recruit a lot of people. Right now, I've been getting a lot of calls from young people that try to do community service. And one of them is the Indian school in Santa Fe. And there's a Girl Scout troop in Santa Fe. And we have all these retail people that have donated blankets.
Right.
And it's I keep getting calls.
That's a good thing. I know it keeps
you busy.
It is
a good thing. But I want them to go to the centers to
yes.
To work together and have fun and everything.
Yeah. Well, that's and not to become sexist or anything, but it's nice when you see a more stereotypical role like sewing. And then men get involved. I don't think people realize how many men are really involved in that type of thing. All the fashion designers. Years ago, the famous football player Rosie Grier, he mm-hmm. did needlepoint when he flew from game to game. So it might be something that some of the men out there who are looking for another project to come to the Placitas Community Center, and we'll talk to Maria about that in a little bit to get all those details. But I, besides wanting to talk about Project Linus as part of our mission on KUPR, we also want to get to know some of the people in the area a little bit better. And you currently live in Corrales, and you, mm-hmm. you taught at the Albuquerque schools. But you grew up in Hawaii, and from what I read in a really nice article about you in the Albuquerque Journal, is that you went to college in Iowa.
Yes.
So you're in Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
far, far away,
mm-hmm.
and you were, I guess at some point you said, I'm going to go to the lower 48, but why Iowa? Was there something there? Was there a boy?
No.
No?
I just went, first I went to Ottumwa Heights in Ottumwa, Iowa.
Okay.
Then to Maricrest College for the BA, the University of Iowa, then University of New Mexico to get my graduate PhD.
Okay. Also, we should be calling you doctor.
No. Boo. No, doctor.
Okay.
One in the family is enough.
So how did you get from Hawaii to Iowa? What motivated that move?
There was no motivation. You just had to go to college.
Right. But so, there are thousands.
I know. I think my aunt was the one that told me to go to Iowa because she went to school in Colorado and knew some of the sisters. So the sisters told her where I should go.
Okay. Because I just remember years and years ago when I was trying to select a school, mm-hmm. there's always the option of going to the state school for financial reasons, or you know, some people went to University of Florida for mm-hmm. various reasons, and or UCLA. I don't recall any of my friends going, you know, I want to go to Iowa. That's just such a nice place in the winter and lots to do. And no, I'm being facetious. So, but you enjoyed your time there?
Yes. I learned a lot, you know, going from a private school to a big university in Iowa. It makes a big difference. They sent me to the School for the Deaf because that's what my area is in,
okay.
the Deaf. So they sent you to the School for the Deaf, and you live there for, a year with this student, so...
For some period of time, I was living in the Washington, D.C. area,
mm-hmm.
and my direct supervisor was very involved in at Gallaudet University,
mm-hmm.
the university for the
deaf.
And then the relay service, that you get that third party on there so that people who have hearing issues can make a phone call. So that was a really fascinating time, and I can only imagine if you had college-level work on it, it must have been a very exciting career.
It is, and it's also a headache because you have to sign
right,
or finger spelling, and try to communicate with every, in many means, because you have to be proficient with these students, and it's hard, and they get frustrated because they can't hear.
I would think that would not be a good time.
No.
But they also, I mean, we're kind of wandering from Project Linus, but it's still, I think, important to talk about. The medical advancements are amazing since mm-hmm. we were children.
Yes.
Does sign language, like if I go to Russia, I can't speak Russian. But if I knew sign language, would the person in Russia know the same sign language, or is there Russian sign language?
They said that the sign language is supposed to be universal throughout the world.
Right.
But sometimes in different languages, you have to use different signs. So when you see, like in Japan, they use sign languages, but the words may be, the signing might be different interpretation-wise
right.
with different countries. So, you know, I don't know because I haven't.
Well, there are local expressions that go from right. in idiomatic phrases.
Right.
I know that I learned, I forget where it was, but the if we are not happy with the driver in front of us, mm-hmm. us and we give them a particular hand gesture, in maybe it was Italy or something, that's how you like say hello or hail a taxi. So you have to be sensitive to those cultural differences.
Right.
So back to Project Linus. It is a national organization, and again, it's projectlinus.org, and we are speaking with Dorothy Hu of Corrales, which is close enough to say Placidus.
Mm-hmm.
And the main mission is to work at senior centers and community centers, make blankets, and give them to people or children who need them.
It's only for children because sometimes adults don't understand when we deliver blankets. These are for the children, not for the adults, because the children really need these blankets.
Must the blanket be made in a like a quilting circle, you know, like at the Placidus Community Center, people get together and spend time making the blankets. But if for some reason I want to stay at home and make it, that's okay too?
They can. We don't only say that's for seniors, but young people can make the blankets and bring it to drop-off sites. But, you know, then I pick them up and then distribute them.
Are there guidelines or rules about it has to be a certain size, has to have a certain kind of material or batting, insulation? Are there guidelines on that?
Yes. We can't have a lot of things like metallic fabric, no. Nothing that has buttons or snaps or anything on the blankets.
Choking risks.
Right. And then the fabric has to be clean, has to be new, nothing used. Because if we take the blankets to the hospital and it's a used blanket and a child gets sick, then we'll kind of get into trouble with that.
That's a bad time for everybody.
Right. So they just discard blankets if they're not clean or stained, or, you know.
But does the material need to be new?
Yes. We can't use used fabric. It has to be new, you know.
So many people, sewers, always have a scrap pile of, you know, a little leftover from this project, a little leftover from there, and can't use those.
You can use it as long as it's not, hasn't been used with another blanket.
Oh, can't recycle
or,
it.
No.
Okay.
That's the word.
Well, good, because if I were to do this, I'm not sure where I would get the material. I'd just go down to Sew and Save or whatever it's called and buy three bolts. But I can use scraps from other projects.
Right, as long as it's not used from another blanket or clothing, and we can't do that because I'm afraid that if it goes into the hospital, then it's not good.
Well, you want that to be antiseptic.
Right.
So it should be, once it's made, it should be professionally dry cleaned.
No.
No. That's what I mean. It shouldn't be professionally dry cleaned.
No. So what they do is usually some people pre-wash their fabric and then use it to make the blankets. The batting is a regular batting. So that's what we do.
And when it's all done, there is not a final cleaning?
I check every single blanket that comes in, and I smell all the blankets just to make sure no cat hair, no smoke on the smoking on the fabric or the blanket, because we can't have that. So we just, that's what we, I check everything for needles, for pins, whatever.
I don't even want to know what the worst thing you ever found was, but it probably wasn't good.
Lots of it.
Yes.
There's lots of blanket that came in was full of dog hair, cat hair.
Right.
That I have to discard. See, I hate to do that, but you can't wash it, because if you wash it, then all the, what you call the fur, the hair would go into the blanket.
Oh.
And we can't have that.
Okay. So if you do have animals in your home and you still want to make a blanket, just keep them away from the blanket during production time.
Right.
Are there specific sizes or dimensions that we have to follow?
They have 36 to 42, or for small blankets, but not 36 by 36, because some people think that baby blankets, the baby will fit into that 36 by 36, and doesn't work, because I have talked to some nurses and they said that it's too small for the babies. They need something
bigger. All right. So it this is not going to stifle the seamstresses or seam masters' creativity. Just make it to the size that are listed on projectlinus.org.
Right.
So I
it doesn't. It's not on Project Linus, because each chapter has their own sizes that they want. But we're doing the sizes that will fit the baby here in the counties, because we have so many babies that are being born in these counties. See, and 1 month I had no blankets to give out, because all the small blankets went to agencies that needed the small ones.
Right.
Not the large ones, mostly the small ones.
And how many different sizes are you looking for? Is it just that one for the baby, or are you looking for bigger ones also?
We have medium size, which runs to 52 or something. And then for the teenagers, it's usually one up to 70 inches, 60 to 70 inches.
And you say it's not on projectlinus.org. Is there a different website that lists the local specifications, or do we go to the community center?
What happens is that people would go into Project Linus National, and they want to get in touch with me. They have to email, and then National sends that email to me, and then I answer the email that comes in from somebody that's interested in Project Linus.
There's never a way to escape bureaucracy.
Well, they're trying to keep us from, it's a privacy thing.
Sure.
That's what they do. So when they put me on the Project Linus, the listing, they don't put the full name.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
It's kind of a sad commentary on our times, but it's, well, at least, you know, they're adjusting to it.
And they have my telephone number, they have my email, so, you know, now the whole state of New Mexico knows my email and my phone number, cell number.
What about design? Some people can be very creative, and someone else might call that creativity, boy, that's really ugly. Is there any benchmark that you don't want anything super strange, or you just want patterns, or just go for it and someone will like it?
We just let these people make the blankets how they make it. They want to put little squares, you know, sew squares. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Or they want to make it plain. That's fine, too. But it has to be attached. The batting in the back, the front batting in the back have to be attached. Cannot be loose. Because when parents get the blankets and they wash it, everything comes apart.
I assume that this is a new skill set. Even if you are a good, and you have experience sewing, and maybe you made your clothes growing up or whatever, making a blanket is probably different. There's special techniques you need, or is that just my ignorance on sewing? If you can sew, you can sew.
If you can sew, So, because Project Linus has a, what do you call it? They have a, tells you how to make a simple blanket
sure.
from a, make it a pillow thing, mm-hmm. turn it inside out and just sew the edges and tack in the center and that's it. You don't have to be fancy. It's just that, you know, we need the blankets and the simplest way is what Project Linus has, you know, wants us to teach the other people to do the simple way, and they go on their own. They start sewing all kinds of blankets, but as long as it's not metallic or pure polyester fabric.
Can you tell me why polyester is no good?
Because it stretches and the form doesn't stay in as well as cotton.
Okay.
Because it's stretchier.
I would think some of the synthetics might also be fire risk issues.
Some of it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm really interested in the blanket project, but I don't sew. So may I make a monetary donation?
You can make a monetary donation. You can donate fabric, you can donate batting.
Thread.
We take gift cards.
Again, I would send you the email through projectlinus.org to find out how to donate or go to
yes,
the community
or
center.
If they go to the community center, they all have a brochure. It has my name, has a telephone number, and they can send it to me. Or they can take it to the centers, the fabric, the batting, they can take it to the centers.
And we were speaking a little bit earlier about the number of blankets produced. In your chapter, how many people are involved?
My chapter, I'd say it runs about 40 to 80.
So that's a good representation.
See, because now every year we do have a Project Linus recognition luncheon for all the volunteers that have made blankets. And we have it at El Zocalo. This is just for the chapter to say thank you to all the volunteers that have made blankets. Because we have blankets coming from the northern counties.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And I'm glad to get emails or calls from people that have Girl Scout troop or from a school that are interested in making blankets. I'll take them because they are interested and it gives the children an idea that these blankets go to children that are in crisis.
Right. And that's important for everyone to realize
right.
that in our community, we have children in crisis, even
right.
though I know they say New Mexico is not the richest state in the country, but we have enough to help our own, as it were. It would not be complete if we didn't give you your props and talk about your AARP award. I know you're very modest, but that's a big award.
Yes, it is a big award.
It's the Volunteer of the Year? Or
it's a Volunteer for the Year, and then I got that award. It's the Volunteer of the Year in the state of New Mexico. There's only one that's giving a year, and someone in the state of New Mexico. And I happen to be one of them.
Well, we're all very proud of you. And that's as we all know, we're a very involved community. And then to actually go above and beyond, be recognized for that, that's a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is. But I'm kind of embarrassed because the ladies are the ones that have to be recognized. That's why we have this luncheon for them.
Right. And I think we all know that any organization is made up of all the members. But
right.
somebody's got to get the plaque. So it was you.
Right.
So enjoy it.
Thank you.
We want to transition and talk a little bit about the community center. So we're going to just take a brief break and switch guests here. And talk about the Placidus Community Center Project Linus. So, thank you, Dr. Who.
No,
thank
my
you, Dorothy.
Name is Dottie Who.
Thank you, Dottie. All right, this is still Conversations with Matthew Bronson on KUPR 99.9, and we just had a delightful conversation with Dottie who from Project Linus, and now we're going to ratchet it down a little bit to the Albuquerque area. Maria Armstrong, you come up to the Placidus Community Center to make blankets for Project Linus.
Correct.
And how often do you do that?
We meet once a week on Wednesdays, 9:30, and we stay anywhere between 11:30, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Depends on what you'd like to stay.
And if I'm interested, and, you know, I don't know anything. I'm sure everybody will help me get started. And if I'm inexperienced, you'll just give me a little guidance as to what the project is. What about materials? Do I need to bring my own thread and material and sewing machine? And
they provide the sewing machine. We do provide our own material, batting, thread, and you make your own design. You can make it very simple, as Dottie was saying, two pieces of material, batting, sew around the edges, and you're basically done with the batting inside, tacking it down.
I could do that.
Or you can make it. We have people that have been quilters for quite a while, and they make pieces, strips, squares. They make different designs, and so their blankets will take a while to complete.
Right.
Where if you want to complete a blanket, and we do have blanket a day twice a year, usually in February and like October, depending on the weather. And Dottie provides the material and the batting, and we basically make a blanket a day. And it's two pieces of material, the batting, sew around the edges, turn it inside out, tack it down, we're done.
Wow.
And we make it anywhere from 30 to 50 blankets on that particular day. All the centers get together. The two times that I've been there, there's been at Placita Community Center. And people from Hemes, from Cuba, from Corrales, they all joined us, and we make a blanket.
And when is the next one?
It's coming up in October sometime. Okay. We don't have a future date at this time.
Do you know the location it's going to be at? It will be at the Placitas Community Center.
Probably Placitas, correct.
That's a great facility. There's plenty of room there.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
If people want to find out more about the local Project Linus, I know we have projectlinus.org. Does the community center have its own, or is there anything kind of Albuquerque-based Project Linus web-wise?
You can get a hold of Dottie.
Okay.
You can go to any of the senior centers or community centers and get a hold of Dottie, who there is brochures at all the centers with her name and her email.
Okay.
And I stick to Placitas because even though I live in Albuquerque, I do a lot of stuff in Placitas here.
Right. I would too if I lived in Albuquerque.
And I don't know if there is an Albuquerque chapter.
Well, that's okay. We're glad you're up here in Placitas. And so if you want to pick up the brochure or whatever, come to the community center, possibly on a Wednesday in the morning, so you'll be able to meet the group.
And we're always accepting new people, whether you learn to quilt or not, whether you're a sewer or not. I know my sister used to make her children's clothing, so now she's a quilter, basically. I've never sewed, other than for my husband's military chevrons and hash marks. Other than that, I've never done anything like that.
And so how did you get involved with Project Linus?
Through my sister.
Okay. And she's doing it also.
And I'm retired now, so she asked me one day to come up here and see what we were doing, and it's like, okay, I come up.
You know, we up here in Placitas and a lot of Albuquerque, we, I guess, also being a little bit older, we run into more people who are retired. And for myself, I'm supposedly retired, but I often kind of kid my wife going, I want to go back to work. This retired stuff is too hard work. It takes too much time.
Exactly.
But it is, all the stuff we do is so fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, even though I'm not a sewer, I mean, I can do a button, but maybe if I just came up once and made one blanket, that could be on my bucket list. I made a Linus blanket.
But if you don't sew, that's okay, because we can also crochet. We can also knit. I do a lot of crocheting of the blankets myself, because I can do that at home.
Right.
And my blanket I can do at the center, or vice versa. There's days that I have other things to do, and I'm only going to stay a while, so I'll just bring my yarn and work on my blanket and on my crocheted blanket.
Right.
But on the material blanket, I'll do that one at home, because it's now getting to be 50, 60 inches, and you don't want to carry this from place to place, and because that's how things get dirty too.
Sure.
So you want to keep them as clean as possible.
And at the Placidus Community Center, if you're getting involved, you'd also get some guidance as to how to store the blanket while it's in process. You know, keep it in a bag, keep the dog away.
Correct.
Just keep, mm-hmm. keep the spaghetti sauce off of mm-hmm. all that stuff. I would think that, not that Dottie or you, Maria, would know this, but I'm just kind of thinking that something like making a blanket or sewing in any way, crocheting, has got to be very relaxing and very good for you mentally. You know, as we're all talking about, we need to do yoga and all this meditation. This might be very mentally relaxing for people to get into.
For some of us, it's very relaxing. And so for some of us, it's very enjoyable.
Right.
Is another word.
You also get a good sense of community.
Yes. And you see a finished project once you're done with something. And you're giving it to a good cause.
Right.
So.
And it might be all that dexterity that you're using. If, you know, we all get a little bit of arthritis, or we just have used your fingers so long they wear out. But that might give them some exercise they wouldn't normally get. So
correct.
So I wonder if Project Linus could be considered a medically prescribed by your doctor for relaxation and arthritis cure. Probably won't get there.
Depends on your body.
Well, if that's the only reason, that's good enough to get you in there. Wednesdays starts at 9:30 at the Placidus Community Center.
Correct.
Meet a lot of nice people. You don't discriminate against men. You encourage them.
Correct.
And we'll all have a good time.
Exactly.
Well,
they do provide sewing machines. So if you don't have a sewing machine, it's okay. They'll have one for you.
Perfect. So there's no reason not to do it.
Exactly.
Go with a friend. Make new friends.
Exactly.
Have lunch.
And they do provide lunch, $2 for seniors. And they mm-hmm. also have other activities that you were talking about. They have yoga. They have card playing, poker,
mm-hmm.
Bridge.
I go up there Friday mornings and
Tai Chi.
Play in clay, which I'd never done before.
They have the clay mm-hmm.
classes. And I discovered I have absolutely no aptitude for it at all, but it's still relaxing.
Exactly. Yeah. So. They have different things there.
Well, Maria Armstrong, Dottie Hu, thank you both so much for coming in today and sharing with us about the Project Linus, projectlinus.org, Wednesdays, 9:30 a.m. at the Placidus Community Center, and you can have a good time, too. So for Conversations with Matthew Bronson, this is Matthew Bronson, and we'll talk to everybody next time. Thank you.